Time to start the show.
Time to start the show.
It's time to start the music.
It's time to start the show.
It's time to light the lights.
It's time to talk about why you like this. I don't know why I've got this voice on. This man's a nerd. His name is Tom, sometimes also known as Ghostly. And what he's going to show us today will shock you. What are you going to show
probably
us?
Probably won't. I'm going to talk about Deadlands.
Deadlands.
Which is a RPG setting or system set in the Weird West.
Show us you have a visual aid.
I do. Look at it.
There's a man on a horse.
That doesn't technically look weird. It is a zombie on a horse.
No!
Because Deadlands is set in the Weird West.
Yes.
Meaning the American West in, you know, the 1880s ish. Mm-hmm. But it has like additional elements. To give an idea of the basic background of Deadlands, which is quite interesting. Basically, in the medieval times, you know, there was magic and stuff. It was, you know,
in
it was
the world of Deadlands.
This is in the actual world, which, you know,
is it?
Okay, listen, hold on.
This is explaining where Deadlands came from.
This is explaining where Deadlands came
from. In the world of Deadlands.
Oh,
yes.
We have magic?
No, we did.
We did?
But what happened was, okay, look.
Dragons are real.
Back in the medieval times.
Okay.
There was, you know, magic and miracles and whatnot. But
God,
Jesus was real.
I know. But
and he loves you, Josh.
The amount of good that you could come with it was much less than the amount of evil that could come with it. So a group of Native American shamans decided what we're going to do is we're basically going to seal off access to what they called the hunting grounds, which is basically the source of any sort of otherworldly power.
Okay.
They're going to go in there, basically they're going to seal it off. Yes, this will eliminate all the good magic, but it's going to eliminate all the bad magic, which is there's a whole lot more of.
Sure.
So they do this. They go in, and through a great deal of effort, they manage to basically close off the doorways to the hunting grounds to stop the magic from ever coming out again.
Okay.
Now, fast forward to around the 1700s.
Yeah.
Where a Native American shaman named Raven has his entire village killed by invading whites.
That's so Raven.
I know. And he basically decides what, and he, even though the doors are sealed, he's very, very powerful, and he can actually sort of hear the hunting grounds. He can sort of hear the spirits, as it were. He decides to go on a big journey to basically bust back open the doors of the hunting grounds. So he basically goes
so that he can fuck over the white.
So he can fuck over the white people. This is his big revenge against.
Fantastic.
Against.
I'm all for
the
it.
Whites. Yeah, I know.
So there's
right?
no white people in this.
No, there are eventually.
Gasp! Okay.
And so he goes basically from to you know, like from tribe to tribe, basically talking about this stuff. And the elders of the tribe basically hear him. He's like, "You are first off, you're crazy, and this is not a good thing. You like because this was sealed for a reason. This is not a good thing." And basically kick him out or drive him off. But, you know, as happens, there's always a couple of people who decide to follow him. So he gets his big crew together, goes to the, and basically manages to break into the hunting grounds and start killing all of the old ones who are the ones who originally sealed it shut, who are still there because they basically walked in, closed the door behind them, and were holding the door shut, as it were. So he goes in and basically starts killing all of the old ones who are holding the doors shut. And he finally manages to kill them all and release the magic. This happens on... Give me a moment, because I need to look up an exact date, because dates are very, very important. This happens on, I believe it was the July 2nd, 1864. How good is my history knowledge?
Were we doing a civil war at that time?
Battle of Gettysburg.
Okay.
Which was, yes, I was off by 2 years.
Ugh.
1863. So July 2nd, 1863 mm-hmm. is when he finally busts through and releases it.
Mm.
And when he does that, all hell breaks loose.
Literally.
Literally. The first major event was at the Battle of Gettysburg. On the second day of it, all of the dead soldiers got up and began to attack everybody. And everything just goes nuts. Battle of Gettysburg, basically both sides are driven off, which of course kind of leads the Civil War to becoming a big giant stalemate.
Mm-hmm.
But also what happens is there's huge earthquakes across California, which basically break off of large percentage of California into the ocean and makes a giant maze of mesas and exposes a new element called ghost rock, which is basically a super coal that burns like, I think like 10 times hotter, 10 times longer than normal coal. You can also mix it with metal to make ghost steel, which is very, very, very strong.
And it's made out of souls?
It's made out of ghosts.
It's, yes, it is. It is. Well, now, hold, that is an incredibly unscientific way of looking at things, because of course...
Unscientific way of looking at the ghost.
Yes, unscientific.
Well, because of course, coal is, like, obviously it's a black rock that has white streaks in it, but those are just impurities. And the reason why when you burn it, it screams is because it's very porous and the gas is just escaping. Of course. Of course.
Okay,
it doesn't actually scream.
And
also, when the doors open, scientists begin figuring out various steampunk technology, various demonic powered items.
Brown goth pervert.
Yes,
shit.
Brown goth pervert shit.
And
also one of my favorite things about it is the magic system, which mm-hmm. is done by what they call hucksters, which are basically people playing cards against demons
mm-hmm.
To get power. And one of the funnest things about this is how you actually do magic is you draw a literal hand of poker cards, and depending on the rank, that is how powerful or how bad stuff happens in magic. But yes, that's the basic setting for Deadlands. It's a lot of fun. It is very pulpy, Weird Westy. It's very, very enjoyable. And they put a lot of effort into backstory.
Yes.
And creation of the world and explaining stuff. Like, there's one source book that's about the City of Gloom, which mm-hmm. is Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Where the first third or half of the book is basically explaining Mormon history mm-hmm. and how they actually got here and what's going on, and actually being like, here's what happened, so you know the backstory for the setting.
Yeah, because effectively what they do with Deseret is which is the fun Mormon word for where they are. What they do with that is they create a kind of theocracy-ish.
Yes, it's a theocracy, and they're their own... They separated from the U.S.
Yeah, they seceded, and people are kind of allowed to do that now because
it's a big, huge mess. So
yeah, because we know Civil War kind of works, but also not really. Yeah. That's an interesting thing. So my question here: one, when you said Raven did this, how old are they? Because if they started this shit in the 1700s,
that is an excellent question.
Are they a billion years?
They are a billion years old, but of course, if you think about where are they getting this power from.
Basically
the big bads are the four reckoners, which are basically the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Sure.
And one of them is basically empowering Raven in order to open
this. Yeah, because that's wrath, right?
War.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, not war. Death.
Okay, yeah.
There's
I'm sorry, I was confusing
pestilence,
stuff.
Yeah.
Death, pestilence, famine, and war,
famine,
I thought.
Famine and war, yeah. War is...
I was confusing with seven deadly sins.
War is a different guy.
Sure.
But yes, it's...
Because I was also wondering, I didn't know it had that undercurrent to it, because you and I have played. I've played in part of a campaign. I didn't know it went that far back, because I read literally just the source book that we were looking at and did not go deep into the lore.
Oh, the lore gets kind of nuts, because they put a lot of effort in making a whole, world.
So, with RPGs like this... This is not to speak ill of other systems. However, there was the controversy And I think richly deserved of the inclusion of like Nazi stuff in Vampire the Masquerade. And like semi-unironically. And we aren't, you know, who knows what part of Vampire the Masquerade is a goof. But what I'm wondering is, was there any, do we have native writers on this?
I do
what
not.
What is the connection?
I'll be honest, I do not know. I know that one thing when, because Deadlands was made in, I think, the late 90s originally.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been through a couple of different systems.
Yeah.
Like the original system is actually kind of nuts. You actually made all of your stats through drawing cards, and it could be really weird. It was very, very granular, very complex. Now it's on Savage Worlds, which is a very, very good...
Which is like a metaverse.
Yes, which is a metaverse.
Connects a bunch of
it's
things.
Also a very, very good system.
Sure.
It's very nice.
And it's a little bit like a Powered by the Apocalypse where you can adapt it to anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like in the new Savage Worlds setting, they basically change some of the world.
Yeah.
For instance, the big elephant in the room for Deadlands is what's happening in the South.
Yeah, no shit, buddy.
I haven't looked at the new stuff yet because I'm trying, because my lovely wife Erica is the one who's running the game, and I'm trying to.
You're not gonna spoil yourself.
I'm trying to, because I know a lot about Deadlands. I'm trying to hide from the new stuff a little bit.
You don't wanna mess up whatever you're doing. Yeah.
But apparently the Civil War did in fact end. So they can kind of avoid the Confederacy.
It ended, and it's a Union victory.
Yes,
specifically.
It's kind of a
but
like,
it was a war of attrition for a very long time.
Yes.
Much longer than we would have had because of the
because the Reckoners want the war to keep going because that's how
hell yeah
because their goal is because
they're accelerate. Oh no, sorry, the Reckoners are the four horsemen. I thought you were talking about like people who are accelerationists.
No, because the goal overall is to basically make the world into a deadland. Basically the worse, basically the fear level is a factor in the game.
Yeah.
The fear factor.
As the environment gets worse and worse and worse and worse, basically it gets more and more and more hell-like until it gets to fear level 6, in which case it is literally
hell.
It's literally hell on Earth, and that's the only place that the Reckoners can actually exist in.
Interesting.
So their goal is to basically turn the whole area into a deadland so they can actually manifest and...
They can do the end of
do
times.
Do the things.
Okay.
And so they want the war to keep going because it makes everything a whole lot worse.
Yeah, no, of course. This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I guess I was wondering, like, it was like, one, is that still canon with, it makes no sense to me that this is because the American West as a history dumbass, the American West as we know it in pop culture existed for like 15, 20 years, depending on who you talk to and where.
Yes.
And
if I would bet if you say basically from maybe a little before the Civil War to kind of like around 1900 is where the West was.
Yeah, precisely. And like, and it also, again, it depends on what we're calling the West and settlement, et cetera. What I think is fascinating is that because it overlaps slightly with the Industrial Revolution and arguably intertwines with it pretty intensely, it is ironic as hell to me that the person who did the big bad and pulled out the evil from the earth was not a white man.
Well,
like,
All we do is
rip shit out of the earth.
He's the one who started it, but I will say this.
Did he?
The other
fought some people that were just guarding a door.
No, but he opened up the possibility so that he could fuck over the white man.
Yes.
This was
revenge against the white man. But of course, he was manipulated.
Of course, he was fucked up by his. Yeah. It's just ironic to me because I'm just like.
Well, but also, the other three.
Reckoners?
Yes, the other three Reckoners are, in fact, white people. There is the big industrialist.
These are like individual antichrists.
Yes, there are four, basically, there's the four Reckoners, you know, there's four horsemen, then each of those has a champion, basically.
Okay.
And Raven is the one for death.
Okay.
There's three others who are white people.
Wait, Raven's a Reckoner now?
No. Okay, there's the
Raven
Reckoners.
Raven is a champion of champion the Reckoners.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. He's the champion of Death.
Because Death was like, hey, buddy, have I got news for you?
I got a great idea.
Would you like to kill people? I'm into that. That's like
that.
My entire thing.
Not the ones guarding the door.
No, the actual old ones.
Things. Those are the guys who sealed the door against.
So those have nothing to do with it.
No, those are different guys.
They're all dead. And they're basically the ones who are the reason why the magic, quote unquote, went away.
Yeah, they are. It's like if the ghosts from Lord of the Rings, the ghost army, did it to themselves.
Did it to themselves really on purpose and was like, we need to keep this locked.
Yeah.
So then technically it would have to be Raven because the Native Americans are the ones that sealed it away.
No, of course. He would have access to that magic.
The white people invading wouldn't
He would have access there. To that magic.
Quite. So they would have to fall upon it. I didn't understand how Ghost Rock worked. And I thought that, okay, so what I thought was that Ghost Rock was just a weird nuke. A weird nuclear power, and naturally, well, of course, I mean, functionally it is,
yes.
But like the idea in my, the way I was playing it in my head because I read this much, because it is very dense and at a certain point my eyes go like this.
That's fair.
Well,
also to be fair, what I just told you is not quote unquote common player knowledge. Like the characters don't know that Ghost Rock is actually the condensed souls from hell.
Yeah.
Just think it's a neat little
It's just a weird fucking thing.
It's super cool.
Read all the side Star Wars books. You don't know all that weird shit.
It's also like nobody's gonna know.
Well, the characters don't know this because that's
the individual characters wouldn't know unless any of them are really into this specific thing, and they'd also have to be pretty deep in the lore.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck they'd have to.
This
already
is a
be
big
a
thing
nerd.
That nobody that it's this is a big like oh shit.
It would be big earth shattering knowledge. Okay. So I mean that makes enough sense. I guess that was one side of it. The other thing is one thing that I found fascinating with this system as a player was that you can choose to play it. You can simultaneously have different tendencies in one group, which I like a lot. So by tendencies, I mean we were playing in a game with my partner, who is the sort of person who, as often as possible, will try to break the game, and he'll do it in character. He'll create a character that's a game breaker, and his character's name is Doc Heck. And he's a little old man who is basically talks like Tom Waits and is a chaos Muppet and has a donkey. He sells patent medicine. He's a terrifying presence. At some point, he just bought a lot of dynamite. He speaks in weird sort of things. I don't remember which specific thing he does. But you can have that kind of person and then people who are trying to play it more straight. Your character is a journalist.
Journalistic reporter who's basically trying to investigate all this weird
So she low high key works for the tabloids.
Yeah, the tabloids.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. And then my guy is a gunsmith and works and has a very specific relationship to his guns, like lifetime guarantee, but as soon as you die, I get the gun back. Because that's the lifetime guarantee. Congratulations. Yeah. So it's this whole weird thing because they simultaneously can exist in all of these spaces. Now, granted, I did ruin us all we were hanging out at some point. Basically, it's at some point I decided to go absolutely apeshit. I stopped being nice and decided to go apeshit.
Started getting real.
Yeah, it started getting real. Well, no, in the sense that, so Doc Heck is is just down for whatever.
Yeah.
He'll just do whatever the fuck. And at some point, he just started lobbing dynamite at a guy who was, I don't even remember what the deal was, but it was there was a plague that was maybe created. There was a guy who had a plague, and the plague was actually secretly just everyone being Stepford-wived.
Yes.
And whoever was dissenting got the plague magically, kind of thing. I just decided at that moment that my character had religious trauma and I set him on fire.
Yeah, it was great.
I set him on fire and quoted Bible scripture, which in real life was me fucking looking up as much shit that I could. I set him on fire and quoted Bible scripture. And then in another moment, again, Doc Heck sold me more weird patent medicine and like was going to sell me for, no, there was another scene in the same, I think, session where he was trying to give me, he had something that contained a certain amount of alcohol, and I was like, all right. And he told me the price was like $20, which in 1880s is a lot. And I was like, that's ridiculous. And he's like, oh, okay, how about this much? Like, how about $5? And I'm like, fine. And he drinks most of it and then gives me the $5 amount. So again, it's an interesting, it can contain multitudes.
Yes.
It doesn't fuck up the setting.
No.
Like, which is interesting.
It's, because the setting's very weird.
Because the setting is nuts. Yeah. Like, again, you're in this weird...
Because there's zombies and monsters.
There's Yeah, it's steampunk without airships, although I'm sure there are airships.
There are, but yeah. there's not a lot. Most of it is...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It can be steampunk without feeling like you have to have cogs...
And goggles.
Nailed to your head.
Yes.
You know?
So what is your goal in this whole thing?
Well, the goal...
Is it just living in this world, or is there, like, you
overarching
know,
big goal. Yes, whatever. There are the big bads, and you're obviously trying to stop...
You can try the big bads, but I think it's just like any other role-playing system, where yeah. you can have a small story instead of a big world, or you could just be big damn heroes and trying to fuck everybody up.
But, sure. Yeah. But eventually, usually... Like, let's say in D&D, you're yeah. trying to go for the
well,
thing.
The main goal in it is basically trying to stop, because you can't kill the Reckoners, because that's trying to kill the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
That would be
good,
a lot.
Good luck.
You can't do that to start, for sure.
And the main goal in it is basically to stop their plans. Like, they yeah. may have a plan to basically, you know, like, basically sow terror or get this thing or do something, and your job is basically to stop them from doing that. What's very interesting is in the game, there actually is mechanics to basically fuck you up if you basically become too big of a problem. Mm. Like, yeah. there's an actual, like, creature, basically this weird demonic, bull beast that its whole thing, it ignores you if you're below a certain power level, but as soon as you get over that, it starts hunting you because the Reckoners are like, we need to deal with this problem.
I find that fascinating. That's kind of like there's an idea in D&D that someone threw out on Twitter the other day that was like, have a world where every time you crit, unless you can explain why your character is bending fate, it just works like nothing extra special happens. You just absolutely get it. But if you if you don't want that, you have to explain why you're bending fate. And the minute you say you're bending fate, there is a monster that knows exactly where you are.
Yeah.
And like that kind of shit. I like
yeah.
that kind
and
of shit.
And like there's even like when you get really, really good, one of the stone who is the Reckoner for war.
Okay.
Or death. Anyway.
One of
but
them.
But he basically starts hunting you because you have become such a big problem for the yeah. Reckoner. It's like we need to take these guys out.
Yeah. So far in our group, we've been messing up cult leaders and industrialists.
So how
we're
are you
a great time.
Finding out about these
multiple
doings.
Different sources.
Yes.
So we're not finding out. We're not really into the overworld yet.
Yes.
Really,
we don't have any big connections in terms of the people who are trying to.
Not yet, but like your character Iris is trying to get in on that shit because
yes.
she writes about Bat Boy and whatever.
Yes,
Bat Boy.
Well, yeah. you know, like tabloid shit.
Literally, she's a tabloid reporter.
Yeah.
But
it's like she's Weekly World News.
Yeah, it's Weekly World News. If the Weekly World News was actually right,
yeah.
but no one believed
like
them anyway.
Like in Men in Black, where yeah. it's like, oh yeah, you look at the tabloids to figure out where the aliens are.
Yeah.
No, very much that. And then my guy has a, like, there are things like, they're called like knacks. Mm-hmm. And like if you have a knack for a thing, that's like a special ability. And so there's a couple of, and the best part is it goes into like some folklore shit.
Oh yeah.
Like there's breech birth, which is, if you were a breech birth, there is a idea that you have second sight. This is in like Old West folklore.
Yeah.
And some of this shit, because my mom grew up in the West, it's like, oh my God, it's like dumb shit my mom used to say.
Yeah, it's
but
like,
it's like actually applied to like functionality. So like in my case, I can see ghosts. Mm-hmm. My dude can see ghosts, but he can't really, like, and he's not freaked out by it. But he doesn't, oh, what was the other thing? I had a particular thing. Oh, I have like, I can see ghosts and it doesn't bother me, but I don't necessarily have any ability with them. I'm just like, oh, hey, buddy.
There's a ghost.
Mm. Oh, like, they're just kind of like always around.
They're just about, and it's just a thing I'm chill with.
Yeah.
It's not that I have a special ability. I don't have any extra spirit ability. The other thing is that like you have to give yourself impediments.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave mine hearing. Mine's hearing loss because I'm a gunsmith. I'm absolutely not wearing earring.
No, God, no.
I'm not wearing any kind of ear protection at all, ever. And I specialize in fucking hand cannons. So like, yeah, I've done some dumb shit in my life, and I will just super not hear stuff.
Yeah.
And so it makes for interesting moments because I'm also enormous. my yeah. dude's character, I like his nickname is Big Iron. He's just because it's the joke about the meme, but also he's just a big dude and he's quiet and kind of just like whatever. And
until
you know,
set someone on fire.
Until you do some religious trauma shit, and then I have to set you on fire and laugh. And that's why we fear Big Iron. No, and it was also funny because you're the face. You're definitely the face character in our group, but you kept failing your roles.
Yeah,
like, and you've got all the charisma and shit.
Yeah.
This leads to some very fun stories where, for example, you're trying to get in. I don't even remember with whom. You were trying to get in with like a some kind of alderman.
Right. This was the mine we were trying to get into. And I was trying to convince him that we were all fine. And I kept failing.
I kept trying to assist by being like, yeah, buddy. And like the other guy would just be like impressed by me. Like, yeah, actually, yeah, you're dumb. I like you. Like it was just weird. It's weird. So yeah, either I can be charming. I can both be charming and intimidating up to a point. But I absolutely like the whole point is I don't talk a lot.
So funny.
It's an attempt. Yeah. Yes, it's an attempt by me to mitigate, like, this allows me to occupy two places in gaming that I like a lot. One, to be a large man, which I can't be in real life. I simply cannot be any taller. I'm 5'5", and it kills me every day. And the other thing is to be a person who doesn't talk a lot, but people listen to. So, you know. What I'm saying is it's a fun system. I like it. Do you have questions since I'm too close to this case?
Are there character types for this that are very specific, or is it just like...
Basically, when you create a character, there's no classes.
Yeah.
You basically can pick perks and stuff. Like, for instance, if you want to be a magic user or a mad scientist, you pick the arcane background perk or the mad scientist perk, and that lets you basically be able to cast spells. But you don't have to do that. You can be whatever you want in terms of whatever you want the skills to be. There's no like limits on skills. When you create the character, basically it's a point buy system. So you basically how it works is
you get this many points.
You get this many points, and you can upgrade. Basically, how it works is you have dice that you roll for certain skills, and you can upgrade the dice. So instead of a D4, D6, D8, and as it gets higher and higher.
It was hard to build a character without a high concept, which is the other thing that was like. Another thing that specifically my partner Graham does really well is he has a big silly concept, and then I'm like, well, everything I do is dumb. So I went with my old standby of large man, very quiet but powerful, and yours is a very strong concept of like I'm an upstart reporter,
reporter who can throw magic cards.
Yeah, like it's a whole thing. Like I like the idea of starting. It's easier to start with a high concept with this, and like especially if you like steampunk, if you like westerns, if you wish a favorite character was in a weird western zombie setting, go wild.
But this
adapt
is
it.
Definitely going to be, I would say, potentially more difficult for. Somebody that's just getting into role playing because you have to full on come up with it. There's no pre-builts at all.
There are pre-builts.
Oh, okay.
There are some basic pre-builts that you can basically use as like a basic kind of thing. But in terms of rules, it's actually not that bad.
I forgot to say though, there are things like factions and important things like there's the agency.
Yes, there are some basically big. Like overarching.
There's forces, and if you're allied with a force, it can help you inform. I would not say this is baby's first role playing.
No,
unless
this
you've
is
got
not baby's first
role playing
game.
You.
It definitely is not the first role playing game that you should ever play ever. It's not hard to learn.
Yeah, like you just need a lot of hand holding for the first little bit.
Yeah, then it's like then everything else kind of starts rolling.
It's definitely a hard push start for sure.
And you need to be able to roll with whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind
of
also how it works.
Bit, you know?
That's, I mean, I would say this is also, it's a really strong concept for the setting. And if you're down with the setting, you won't have that hard a time.
Yeah.
As long as you have an idea of what types of characters and people should be in that time, or even not. But
No, specifically, like we were in Deseret, and
martial artists.
Oh
because
yeah,
immigrants,
there's a
immigrants
lot of other
China
shit.
Yeah. Who are you know?
Yeah, so there's a lot of other shit, and there is an openness to different types of things. It is also explicitly not just white people.
Yes, very explicitly,
which is great. And Yeah, it's an interesting, there's an interesting side of things, and there's an interesting sort of cultural relativism that exists within it. But I enjoy the fact that, and how I ended up building my character was, because my mom grew up in Utah and we were going to play in Deseret, I was like, well, so I looked up a bunch of like common Mormon names. Mm-hmm. I looked up a bunch of different things from just my mom's old neighborhood and ended up informing different parts. So like the guy that my character's name, his real name is like Hiram Farr, but it's spelt a specific way and Farr is spelt a specific way. And the whole thing is that like, there is, so there's a really good ice cream company, Farr's Ice Cream, in Salt Lake City, but apparently they are also related to an ancestor of the Farr family is Hiram Farr, who is one of the more, celebrated, I wouldn't call it a, like a Mormon scholar, but like, I think he was a bishop, something like that. Mm. Not being a Mormon myself, you know, important distinction there, but Farr is an important name and would have been an important name during this time, assuming an alternate history where most of these things happen. So like, I specifically chose that, and I specifically chose him to not be Mormon because it was like, this creates a certain amount of like interesting things. There's also a very interesting history between people who are Mormon and non-Mormon during the time that Deseret as a concept was being formed in history. So again, I got to put on my dumbass history hat.
No, there's a lot of weird stuff. Like, and one of the books goes into detail about here's like stuff that happens.
Yeah, and it's like, fun because it canonizes certain things, and it's also like, but you can kind of just get
but you can just do whatever you want.
So yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, I like the fact that we can have wide open spaces. Mm-hmm. Actual functional, like I have like specific guns that my character is using and or selling. Mm-hmm. And like there's like a whole bunch of different types, and there's like one that I'm like keeping in my back pocket because I'm trying to build up the strength to literally fire it, because even my big dude is not strong enough to handle the kickback of this like effectively Western Desert Eagle. It's not a Desert Eagle, but it's
a buffalo rifle or whatever.
It's just a hand cannon. It's basically an early hand cannon. So it's a whole thing, and learning about just the different ways that it's for me been a fun research project. But like it's also just been fun to like, I don't know, live in the space where, again, you can have wide open spaces, and then in the City of Gloom, in Salt Lake City, you know, it is just full-on steampunk nonsense. Like, yeah, it's called the City of Gloom because it's always smoggy, right?
Yes, it's always smoggy,
you don't see the
like,
sun.
Yeah, there's this big, huge river that basically is so polluted that if you fall in, you will, like, get dissolved and die.
It's just atrocious.
Apparently, I think there's also a rule that if you live there for... If you're there for like more than a week, you have to start making constitution rolls.
Yeah.
Or else you start basically getting, unless you're wearing like a literal like mask, you basically get black lung just by being there.
No, it's pretty intense. So we haven't really engaged too much with that side of it. It's interesting because I'm not a brown goth of this particular stripe. You know, I'm not the steampunk kid. It's like one of those like, well, that's not for me though. Like, It's been fun to kind of take bits and bobs because, like, and that's what I mean by multi-tendency is, like, I would say on the Western side of things are, you know, my character and Doc Hack. And then we have, we haven't talked about Cinder, but there's Cinder and Iris, who are very hard steampunk.
Yes.
You know, and it's this interesting different.
Yeah, because if you wanted to play just a straight up man with no name style gunslinger, you can do that no problem.
Yeah.
It's super easy. You can like it's no problem.
It's pretty much just,
and if you want to play like a weird mad scientist who has like a freeze ray, you can do that. That's no problem.
You can make what is it? Oh shit. Not Dr. Horrible. Come on. Repo. You could do Repo the Genetic Opera in the 1890s if you wanted. And you can also just do Hondo, but zombies. And
you can also be a zombie.
That's also true.
Yeah, you can become one of the Harrowed, which
the
is...
The Harrowed, yes.
And they're fun because they're very, very powerful. Like, they have very high strength. If you kill another, like, mystical creature, you can gain some of their powers. But,
well, you have to chop their head off and then lightning comes.
Yeah, literally is that.
What?
Yes, but, you know, literally it is a quickening kind of Highlander thing.
Oh.
But there's a slight downside. when you
to
are
being undead, tell yes, me more.
When you are a Harrowed, basically yeah. a demon is possessing your corpse and running around like yeah. a puppet. You're sometimes in control, but you're sometimes not.
Oh, so it's like a wild magic situation almost.
It is. It basically, if you fail a spirit check, then
the demon can just do the thing.
Demon takes over for you know, 24 hours or however long. And then it's running around doing whatever the hell it wants to.
And that's just DM control? Or
yes, it basically DM rules? Control. Or if you want to be fun, yeah. you basically, it's a secret.
You have a secret character underneath?
No, basically it's like, okay, it's like if you're playing the character, the DM would be like, you roll and then you hand them a little note where it says you passed or not. And then, yeah, because the demon doesn't want to get caught. It's going to be subtle and sneaky.
Oh.
And it just will very, very carefully.
So yeah, lots of levels of skullduggery available. Yes. So if I'm a baby child who's not played this and I'm worried, are there any other entry points to this if I'm not ready to build a whole character and live in a space?
If you want to basically just look at Savage Worlds, just in general, the generic system.
Because they have a superhero
version. They have every possible, they have so many different kinds. They have they have just basic like fantasy style. They have something called Rippers, which is basically monster hunters in London.
Oh yeah.
They have all sorts of different kinds. You can basically whatever you like to play, you can find it.
Nice.
But yeah, that's a good entry point. Basically, it's looking at the original.
Is there a play school version of this? Is there
adventure modules that are full-fledged things that you can just walk through?
Oh yeah, there's tons of adventure modules. In fact, we got one of the ones that we're waiting for the pandemic to be over. To play it, because it's got like a full board, it's got handouts, it's got a whole mess of things that you can do.
I like it.
But yeah, it's Savage Worlds, Deadlands. It's super interesting. You can find a lot of the old books at like used bookstores.
Yeah.
You can tell what they are because they have a bright orange binding. Like they're
is that the same on this?
No.
No.
Different. Okay. It's a very bright orange. Oh, okay. Like you can spot it from a mile off. It's a bright orange like binding. It's very, very weird.
I want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
they're
it's
like, come on over like, here.
Look at this.
Attract.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a good setting. It's a lot of fun to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get yeehaw in there.
Get yeehaw.
Sounds good.
It is.
I'm interested.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.